Hello, welcome to the New River Church podcast. We're so pleased to have you join us today. We hope that today's message uplifts and inspires you. If you would like to learn some more about New River Church and what we're all about, just check us out at newriverchurch.org.
Well, good morning, y'all. How you doing? Doing okay? No? Yeah. All right. Well, this morning, it's my privilege. I want to introduce Jordan to you. Jordan leads our young adult ministry. And you might ask, well, Doug, you're here. Robin's here. Why aren't one of you guys preaching, right? Well, we just thought we'd take the week off. Why not, right? But actually, no, one of our values is to be a stepping stone. And I believe very much in that principle in the kingdom of God that we are to look for ways to encourage and to launch others into the ministry that God has for them. And so part of that is preaching. And Jordan is just a great young man, and he's actually been leading our young adults, like I said, but also this whole Practicing the Way series is something that I think was really birthed out of his heart as well. And we're grateful for his influence in that. And so would you welcome Jordan as he comes? How's that, Jordan? Come on up, my friend.
Awesome.
God bless you as you bring the word today.
Thank you.
Not only is he, handsome and all that, but he's also a world-class fly fisherman. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Is it world-class or just maybe local?
Mediocre.
Yeah, mediocre. Let me see, are you even on? I'm not getting frisky. Okay, there you go. Your light's on. Gotcha.
It's on. Are we working?
God bless you.
Move it closer. Awesome. Yeah, because Doug kind of explained it, but you're, probably wondering why I'm, up here speaking. I'm asking the same question, right? So a month or two ago, I was leading, Practicing the Way with the young adults. Matt Lyles came, and we were speaking on prayer, and he encouraged us to, begin to pray for the Lord to put us in places where we want to be, where our strengths are, where we feel like we are best fit, right? So I was like, cool, I haven't really felt like I could pray that. I kind of just got to go with the flow of Lord, what do you have for me, whatever it is. I was like, well, I've really missed the days when I was in ministry and all those things. And I'll talk more about that later. And so I went the next day and I was praying. I was like, Lord, if you could, it'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be great if you'd be able to kind of open up opportunities for me to be in my gifting more? And then that same day, Robin texted me and asked me to preach. And I said, God, that's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying at all. So I was like, I was really hoping to be you could do a fun men's retreat or do something like that. But God was like, I actually want you to go speak, go preach. So here I am answering the call. Sometimes it's not exactly what you think it's going to be. Thank you. But yeah, I know we've been talking a lot about Practicing the Way, formation and everything along those lines. But to kind of kick us off, I want to make sure that we hit our memory verse for this series, which is 2 Corinthians 7:1. So we can put that up on the screen there. And we can say it all together like we do. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Awesome. Good job. So also for this lesson, the main piece of scripture that we're going to be in is going to be John 15:5, which you'll see up there in a moment. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We'll just kind of keep that in your mind for later. So just a little backstory on me. I've been a Christian my whole life, essentially, at a young age. I prayed the prayer probably at 5 because I was, scared of going to hell, kind of how it kind of goes early on for most people. And over time, I began to understand it more and more. But kind of how Pastor Doug described it last week is how I felt for quite some time. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you're a growing Christian. And we've been speaking a lot about this concept, spiritual formation, which is described as the process by which our spirit is formed into a particular shape or character. Paul speaks of this in Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Yes. The interesting thing here is in the original Greek, conform and transform are both in the present passive tense, which means that it's already happening. We are either being conformed to the patterns of this world, or we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. There's really no in between. And this isn't just a Christian thing, it's a human thing. We're being formed by everything all around us all the time. Our family and our friends, the towns we live in, the media we consume is all shaping us. And the problem is that this is unintentional. And none of us decide to become necessarily the type of people that we have become in our lives, right? For me, the world, if I just kind of let it happen, which I have and I'll get to, can make me selfish, prideful, judgmental, passive aggressive, all the things that I do not want to be and I don't really see for my future as desiring. And this reality became very real for me in the past few years. So when I was younger in college, I lived with a bunch of my best friends, a bunch of dudes at a Christian school, which was pretty awesome. And then shortly after, I was a fly fishing guide in Montana at a ministry for pastors, and which was great. And during that time, I really thought that I was a patient, kind, loving person, but I really think a lot of it was because of my circumstances. It was easy. Like, I was having fun. Like, we're going on trips to Yellowstone. We're taking people fly fishing. We're doing all these things. You're with your best bros. And of course, little tiffs came up. But essentially, like, I was, you know, it was pretty easy to be that way, right? But then, shortly after leaving, a few life changes happened in short succession, right? I got married. I became a father. And I moved into a very kind of tight, close-knit community with my wife's family, my extended family, right? And for those of you that are married, you know that marriage often brings out and helps you to realize a lot of your flaws, right? Either you're gonna notice them yourself, right? Which, like, Lord willing, you will, or your spouse is gonna point that out in you, right? There's no way to avoid that your flaws are gonna be called out. So there was that, then there's becoming a dad, right? And both of those two things together, if you have any ounce of selfishness in you, which, sorry, we all do, I definitely do, it's gonna be really, really irritated and agitated. You're gonna be like, oh my gosh, why am I reacting this way? Why am I responding this way? And you're just kind of questioning why you are the way that you are, at least I was. So I was frustrated and I assumed wrongly, just because being a Christian, that I would automatically become this kinder, patient, more loving person, right? What I hadn't realized during this time, when I was living in college in Montana, a lot of things have been ingrained in me. Some things are more, let's just say, abrasive characteristics. You know how guys can joke and, you know, maybe be mean and you kind of get away with it because you're dudes, right? And so I took a lot of those things, unfortunately, into marriage, right? Unfortunately, into relating with my new family, which brought up some difficult conversations early on, like tears were shed, things of that, like all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that the way that I just am sometimes can cause this pain. And this is not the type of person that I want to become. So the question that I had is, like, over the years of being a Christian, why hadn't I become a more kind, patient, and loving person? Right? I understood in my mind that Christ died and resurrected so that I could have eternal life, right? Like, awesome. You know, I am going to be in heaven with all of you in eternity. Amazing, right? But Jesus also talked about having abundant life here and now. And I was like, am I really experiencing that? Like, in my feelings? And I don't think it was any fault of, obviously, Jesus. It was me not being able to tap into that and experience that abundant life. Now, I want this to be clear, kind of going into this message on talking about the rule of life, which we'll discuss. This is not some self-help woo-woo stuff. Like, hey, I'm just gonna do all these disciplines and everything, I'm just gonna become a better person. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that these spiritual practices and disciplines that we've been talking about, they put us in a place for us to encounter Christ so that he can heal and restore our brokenness in order for us to be the type of people ready to be used by him to grow his kingdom. If that's all you hear I say today, please just remember that. That is the main point. I'll say something like it again too. And so we're gonna kind of step into the reality of we should probably have a plan, right? We have some great scripture to kind of set us up and structure this next section. The first one being Habakkuk 2:2, which is, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it." My favorite for this, 1 Timothy 4:7-8. "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come." Amen. Transformation is possible, right? But it's not inevitable. It's not just gonna happen without a plan. While on the opposite, conforming to the patterns of this world will just happen to us. I mean, you heard my story. Like, it just kind of happened. I let life happen and I became a person that I didn't wanna be. Pete Scazzaro, he's the author of Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, has a great quote where he said, "Nurturing a growing spirituality with depth in our present day culture will require a thoughtful, conscious, intentional plan for our spiritual lives." So I want you guys to think about it. We all have a plan. For our money, we have a budget. For our time, we have a schedule. Many of us have a detailed plan for our careers, our vacations, our diets, all these things. What we value most, we create a plan for, right? I mean, heck, like any good dad, I have a plan for my 3-year-old son to go pro already, right? You know, joking. And like I said, I've been saying, this has become even more personal to me this year. This is not a humble brag at all. I ran a half marathon and a marathon. If you saw my times, for those, you knew that I'm not trying to brag. Don't look at the times, please. But to kind of speak to this planning, the half marathon, I didn't really follow a plan, didn't really worry about my diet, and I really suffered through it. I mean, I was in bad shape after that, right? And then for the marathon, I was like, okay, I should probably stick to a running plan. I'm gonna actually kind of follow a diet so I can be set up better. It was still tough, right? But I got through it, I felt better through the entire thing, and I recovered much better after. And during this time that I was training for this, we were doing the study with the young adults as well. And I began to kind of ask myself, like, well, if I had a plan for this, like, what is my plan for my spiritual growth? How do I become more like Christ, right? Like, how do I kind of structure my days and my time? And that's why I really enjoyed the study and the series, because it brought up an ancient answer that the first followers of Jesus came up with. They called it a rule of life. Now, what a rule of life is a schedule and set of practices and relational rhythms that create space for us to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as he did. It's an intentional plan to slow down and simplify our lives around being spiritually formed by him. Now, this is kind of old language, so it can sound strange, even legalistic, right? But what I want you to hear is that it's rule of life singular, not rules for life plural, right? The original Latin word used by the early Christians was actually the word regula, which we get the English words regular, regulation, rule, and ruler. It literally just means a straight piece of wood. That's what that means. And a lot of scholars believe that in the ancient Mediterranean, this was the same word used to describe a trellis in a vineyard. And so I can't help but kind of think about now our main verse that we're kind of going to be speaking on today, and Jesus' words in John 15, 5 through 8. I think it's one of his most profound teachings on spiritual growth and formation. So I'll read this to you all. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I just want to hit on that last part again. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. People will be drawn to Christ through the fruit that they see in you, right? And I believe that these early Christians picked up on Jesus' metaphor and kind of followed it to its logical conclusion. For a vine to bear much fruit, what does it need? It needs a trellis. It needs a support structure to lift it up off the ground, to guide it in its desired direction, to guard it from damage, disease, and predators. And what I really love about this metaphor, just what Jesus is saying, and it's obviously intentional as to why he did it, but the vine and the branches make up one living thing. They're not disconnected. They're all one life form together. In the same way that we are alive and connected to eternal life and abundant life in Christ because of what he did for us on the cross. And in the same way, to abide in the vine and to bear much fruit, I feel like we should think about needing a trellis, the support structure. And that's what a rule of life is. It's a trellis. It's a way to schedule into our daily lives and rhythms that align our time to our habits of our deepest desires to be with Jesus and to become like him. Think of like the way that an athlete disciplines himself with daily drills, your musician with daily practice. It's all in service to a deeper desire, a desire rooted in love. Doug said this kind of early on, like none of this matters if there's not love. This is not any type of like, just you got to do this, this, and this. It's you do this and desire to do this out of the love that you have for Christ because of the love that he showed you. So for followers of Jesus, right, what is a rule of life made of? What can this look like practically? So I could break it down into kind of three main practices. There's daily practices, like beginning your day with prayer and scripture. There's weekly practices, like keeping Sabbath and gathering with your community. And there's monthly or seasonal practices, like serving the poor and sharing the gospel. It's these practices that we intentionally and repeatedly offer up to God to aid in our spiritual growth, right? And in the chaos of our life, people talk about it and it's real. I mean, we all have our phones. We wake up, we check our phones. We get these notifications all the time. We're just, especially in our culture here, like in America, it's just like, go, 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 achieve, 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 right? It's just the pressures of life can really distract us from our desire to become more like Christ and to know him more. And so I feel like more than ever, I just want us to consider the idea of having a rule of life. And with all these metaphors and thinking about the trellis and the vine and the branches, I can't help think that Christ was referring to what Paul talks about in Galatians 5:22-23, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? So we got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't believe that these fruit are produced by occasional prayer, right? Or just wishful thinking. They will grow as we practice these disciplines, these structured times where we want to engage and be with Christ. And the fruits are also what we think with or what we do without even thinking about it. Like, let's just say having peace in a stressful situation or being generous to those in need. Think of it this way. You can't pray for patience for like, 10 seconds once a month and expect, to become a patient person overnight, right? We're constantly surrounded by noise and distracted. And then if we did that, and then we can't just expect the Holy Spirit to transform you, like I said, just overnight like that. True patience is going to require, I believe, and I believe Christ was showing this by the way that he lived, solitude with Christ. Quiet moments where you learn to wait on God and be still in his presence. Now look, can the Lord have crazy one-time encounters that dramatically change your life? Yes, of course. He does that all the time. He will continue to do it all the time, and it's beautiful. But in our lives, in people's lives, oftentimes when there is a breakthrough of the Holy Spirit, there is a follow-through after to continue to nurture what has happened and to continue to seek after Christ, to know him more. So I want to kind of discuss a little bit, kind of make it a little practical here. I'll kind of put like a little chart of how the fruit of the Spirit can be kind of connected to the fruit of the disciplines, right? Or the disciplines and how they bring the fruit. So I'll give a couple of examples, kind of break that down practically as to what it could look like. So if you're like, man, how can I grow to be a more loving person? I believe it grows deepest in community, service, and generosity. You can't develop sacrificial love in isolation. You need real relationships where you bear one another's burden, right? You can't just be home by yourself all the time, not going out and seeing people. You gotta live with difficult people that challenge you, that bring out, like me, that bring out my impatience, that bring out my selfishness, because then I can then realize that and I can go to Christ and I can ask for healing to help me to become more like him and to work on those things in my life. Not to reach some like penultimate thing where I'm just this perfect person, but like I believe that the power of what Christ has done is enough to cause a very noticeable change in how we live our lives, right? If that's not the case, then what he did, this doesn't mean nothing, but we know it means everything, right? So that's how I believe love would grow through the disciplines. Just two more examples. Joy flourishes, I believe, through Sabbath, prayer, and scripture. If you never rest, you're gonna miss the delight of simply being with God. It teaches you that your worth isn't in productivity, but in God's presence. Regular prayer shifts your perspective from anxiety to gratitude, and scripture reminds you of God's faithfulness, filling you with hope, even in hard seasons. And I'll just read one more, because it could take a long time going through all these, but what's another one that I like? Self-control, that's a good one. I believe the practices that would help with self-control would be fasting, solitude, and Sabbath. Fasting directly trains you to say no to immediate desires for a greater purpose, and solitude teaches you to control your need for constant stimulation, and Sabbath develops the discipline to stop working and trust God. And so the thing that I kind of said earlier, about how we want to put ourselves in a place to experience Christ, we can heal our brokenness. The spiritual disciplines are the soil where the Holy Spirit can grow fruit in your life. You can't microwave transformation. It's going to require consistent, intentional practices over time, positioning yourself before God, so that he can shape you into the likeness of Christ. Now, the thing is, we all already have a rule of life. And you may love this concept of a rule of life and practicing the way. If you love it, you're welcome. I thought I brought this to Doug. If you hate it, you can blame them. If you guys don't like it, it's good. But you might not like it, especially if you're more of a spontaneous, kind of fun-loving person. I have that personality. Or if you come out of a legalistic religious background and are wary of any talk of rules. But the thing is, you already have a rule of life, whether it's written or unwritten, subconscious or conscious, based on long-term vision or short-term intention, moving you toward your desired destination or sabotaging your best intentions. You have one. We all do. So the question is, do you have a rule of life? The question is, do you know what your rule of life is? And is it giving you the life you most deeply desire? So I want to almost have like a call to consideration for the church. And this starts with me. I mean, I'm 32 years old, right? I'm kind of, early on in my life and career. But when I think about the person that I was, that I am, and that I'm becoming, at the end of my life, towards the end of my life, when I'm 60, 70, am I being formed into the type of person? Sorry, no offense. When I'm older and wiser, exactly. Thank you. That's good. When I'm older and wiser. Hey, it's my first time preaching. Give me a break. Just kidding. Yes, when I'm older and wiser, right? End of life for me would be like 100, 110. So I'll change it, right? That was good. Am I the type of person in the church and in my life that is considered wise in the ways of Christ? Would I say that I am now? No, I'm not. I wouldn't sit here and say that, right? I'd say that I'm on that path. And for those of us that are kind of at that place where people look to us, right, for our wisdom, a lot of you may already have a rule of life, right? I just kind of put a name to it. You know what I mean? Like you might already have practices that you do. This is just kind of labeling it. Great. If you have a place or a particular kind of wisdom in an area, I would encourage you to be available, not like go out and seeking these things, but be available to kind of be that for the younger generation. Because that's what I wish I had often, right? In college, when I was working in the ministry in Montana, like there just wasn't, I didn't have that easily accessible to me, right? And I don't want it to just fall on Doug and Robin to be that for the church. You all can be that within the church, and I want to encourage you to do that. And for those of us that are, kind of early on in this or beginning to think in this way, how we can structure our life, I'd encourage you to think like, man, like, what would it look like for me to be used by Christ as I continue to grow older and put in different life situations and different seasons of life? And is the structure that I have for my days now giving me that? Am I putting myself in a place to have Christ heal me and change me? But anyway, so most of us feel far from God a lot of the time. We're always in a hurry. You and I are always being formed, for better or for worse, by the choices of our life, right? By our habits, relationships, environments, and the decisions that fill our day, by our rule of life. Now, I want to make it somewhat practical how you could craft a rule of life. And there's a lot of great stuff, obviously, in the study guide, people going along with that in their groups. But number one would be to start small. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices." I can't talk. Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So it's easy to get overexcited and overreach, but I'd encourage you to just, maybe it's 5 minutes a day of prayer in the morning. Maybe it's 1 minute. Maybe it's some scripture reading. But just being able to think through what these tiny habits of your spiritual life could be to be able to grow in that type of person. Number two, I think this is probably one of the most important. I don't want you to think, you're like, Jordan, I already have so much going on in my life. I can't even like consider putting together all this stuff. I want you to think subtraction, not addition. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." I want you to take out more than you put in. Less is more. It's tempting to write this rule and it to feel cumbersome, to feel like all these things that you have to do. But oftentimes it's gonna be removing things from our life to slow it down. We don't have to say yes to everything. We don't have to fill our days with scrolling, with meetings or whatever it might be in all these events. We need to have that time, kind of a tangent here, but this, what I love when you see Jesus's life, this, and he feeds the 5,000, right? And the disciples are like, wait, where's Jesus? Where is he? He's on a boat. He's going to the other side of the lake to be alone with his Father, right? If you look at today, like in a church, we just have 5,000 people. Oh my gosh, we need to like create small groups. We need to do this. We need to do this or this. Jesus is like, all right, that's cool and all, but I'm going to go spend time with my Father, right? He slowed down even in the hurry of his life. Oh, I think we should take a balanced approach, number three. You can kind of plot these along kind of four different axes, which is the disciplines you do alone, the disciplines you do in community, the disciplines of doing, like worship, feasting, service, and of not doing, like solitude, silence, or fasting. You're going to be drawn to some of these more than others based off of your personality and your season of life. I'd encourage you to work with your personality, maybe lean into things that are kind of more your inkling in the beginning, just to make it, you know, easier and more exciting, but also think big picture to be kind of well-rounded in kind of what you're thinking of, to have that balanced approach. So make it relevant for where you are. Like I have 2 young kids, you know, work full-time job, the whole thing. And, you know, the way that I structure it is around that, right? I'm not taking, you know, time away from the things that are important, like my family. There's no formation without repetition. It's slow. It's monotonous sometimes, but in the moment, it doesn't feel like it's doing anything. But that's just what it is. You know, if you think of Karate Kid, right? He just feels like he's waxing Mr. Miyagi's car or putting nails in the dojo, right? But he's becoming a karate master, you know, during what he's, you know, doing what he's doing. And in the moment, we're going to feel like we're beginning our day with prayer, practicing Sabbath, attending church on Sunday. But we're actually becoming more like our master, Jesus, right? So it's going to be no formation without repetition. And also I encourage you to do this in community, kind of the last one here. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, 2 are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And so it's easy to think of this as something that I do. I write my rule. I do all these things, you know, on my own. But doing this with a community can really change everything. I encourage you to think about this within your small group, within even your own family, whatever that might look like. It makes it so much more joyful. You know, like if you decide to fast and you fast on Fridays with, you know, people in your small group, and then you decide to take the money that you would have used on food and maybe donate it to a food bank. You know, if you're doing it with community, it's more enjoyable and you feel kind of that camaraderie there as well. It's just better. It can be messier and take longer to figure out, but I feel like it's definitely worth it. And so we kind of talked about already, like what could your rule of life look like? And you may find to think about it in these categories we talked about, just kind of recap. Daily, what do you want to do and not do on a daily basis? Weekly, what do you want to do on a weekly basis? For example, you might want to Sabbath, worship at church. Monthly or seasonally. Could be, you know, a day in solitude. It could be serving those in poverty. It could be sharing hospitality. There's a lot of great examples on pages 93 and 96 of the workbook. So I will not bore you with explaining what they can all look like. They can show you that there. And so I want this, and my heart in this is for you guys to feel like this is a gift, not an obligation, to think about having a rule of life. Like, yeah, like I said, if this feels heavier, you have some self-constructed routine, it's going to, you know, it's going to feel overwhelming. But if you seek this out in prayer and asking the Lord, like, how would you want me to structure my days to be able to interact with you and to be changed by you and to, you know, to love you more? You're going to feel supported, lighter, and freer. I love, and I think what Christ says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that's never not the way you feel during this, or that's how you feel, or you don't feel like that with me, how I'm describing this, then please seek somebody out to kind of discuss this more. But I hope that's the heart that you're hearing from me in this. And remember, just as Jesus said about the Sabbath, the rule is made for you, not you for the rule, right? So as you think about this, you know, yeah, think about what you most want in life, with God, what your desires are, the type of person you want to become, and what you feel like he's called you to, right? If you feel like you have a specific calling on your life, are you doing the things to fulfill that calling? He can't just call you and you just sit and wait for it to happen. We need to take action, right? And seek God in that way. So to kind of close us out here, there's a quote from the novelist Andy Dillard, which is not going to be up there, but I'll just read it. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing. A scheduled offense from chaos and whim. It is a net for catching days. It is a peace and haven set into the wreck of time. It is a lifeboat on which you find yourself, decades later, still living. This is just a way to live with greater intentionality, to line up our schedules with those deepest desires. But I just want to say this again. Following Jesus is not a formula. This is a friendship. Amen. In a marriage, in a friendship, how do you grow those? Simple, you spend time together. And that's all that this rule of life is highlighting and saying, is creating and thinking through, how can I spend more time with Christ? And transformation at the end of the day is God's work. It's not ours. We're not in control of our spiritual growth. God does it his way at his pace. Living by a rule of life is just a way to say daily, God, here I am. Heal me, free me, transform me. I love you. I'm going to pray, and then Doug's going to come up and get us into worship. Father God, I just thank you for this time, Lord, and just the ability for us to be here and to learn more about you and what you have for us, Lord. I ask that we would just consider what this could look like in our lives, Lord. Maybe we already have a rule of life that is aligned with spending time with you, Lord, and we just ask you to encourage those people to continue to do that. For those of us that are considering this new, I ask you to just give us wisdom and guidance as to how to go about this well, Lord. Just thank you for this time. I ask you to just help us to take away from this what you had for us, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. That wraps up today's word. We are grateful you joined in, and if you would like to hear more or learn more about us, feel free to check things out over at newriverchurch.org.